Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Yes, I see you're back. You're back again, aren't you? Hello, welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London. So, with Royal Ascot currently under starter's orders, where are my two Top Hat and Tails podcasters? Firstly, his statistics stretch 7 furlongs, but there's more chance of us finding Shergar than there is of him of winning this year's What Bevan Tipping Competition. It's Sam Sankey.
So true that.
And also, following his tackle gags rant last week, it's fair to say, in his day, Lester Piggott interview was more coherent. It's Dennis Waywell.
Right.
How are you, Dennis?
Well, I was looking through some of the archives of the pictures that we had in the What Bevan picture file. Some of
Oh,
them
yes.
can't be ever published for for legal reasons. And I was working out where I'm going to go this week in the camper van, and I've come up with Shaftesbury because I've got a picture of David Plange and Steve Anderson walking up that steep hill in Shaftesbury. You know where they filmed the Hovis
Oh,
advert?
wasn't that in York? They didn't film it in Yorkshire, did they? They filmed it down in Devon or somewhere. Is that right?
Dorset,
Dorset,
yes, is
right.
it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
okay.
And you know what else I didn't know? Is that Hovis advert was filmed by Sir Ridley Scott. I didn't know
Yes,
that.
yes, yeah.
So
I
that's
saw that. I saw that.
interesting, isn't it?
You sent a picture through talking to Steve Anderson this week. You were in Hay on Wye on the weekend. Did you find his coaching manual in any of the bookshops?
No, as you know, there are plenty of bookshops in Hay on Wye. I even found the place where they recycle them as well. And
Oh.
no, I couldn't find it.
Oh, that's a
So,
shame.
a lot of pulping going on in the back there of place.
It's still available on Amazon. I'll put a link up in the description.
Yes, it's well worth a read. I think for the modern leader, that it should be worthwhile a good read. I think it's
Well,
probably still relevant.
talking of leaders, how are you, Mr. Sankey?
Oh, I'm very positive. I'm back on the hype
You're
train.
looking well,
I'm
Sam. You're
feeling it.
looking well.
Bit of sunshine,
Okay.
bit less drink, bit of exercise, bit of sunshine.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, well, should we crack on? Should we get into this?
No, we need
Oh.
to hear what you've been doing, Mr.
What have
London.
I
How are
been
you
doing?
doing?
I've been very well, actually. Trying to think what I well, my daughter's leaving. She's going off around the Greek islands for 8 weeks. So we're just getting
Oh,
her
that's
ready.
nice.
She's off tomorrow. So we're doing that. I have been watching. Are you sitting down, Dennis? I have been watching a little bit of the FIFA World Cup, to
Yes,
be honest.
yes,
I know we've
yes.
had a
Let's not
few
talk about that.
messages. Well, we have had one message through from FIFA. We have to now have a hydration break on the podcast at the 20-minute mark. So we'll be
Oh.
stopping us. You get 3 minutes of
Ooh.
hydration every 20 minutes.
Are we allowed any type of hydration? Any type of hydration we like?
Any
Yeah.
type of hydration, Sam. We'll play the Hovis ad because it's just basically so the Americans can go to an ad break, isn't it? So yeah, we'll put that in. That'd be good. Okay. All right. Well, let's review the St. Helens game. The team was Josh Thewlis, Hopewartie, Smith, Young Gardner came in at centre, Ashton, Irwin and Hayes in the halves, Thomas, Walker and Byrne in the front row, Bentley, Harrison and Curry was back at 13. Interchange bench was Powell, Sipley, Crowther and Tanganawa. King and Philby missed out as they too were added to Wyre's casualty ward. So, as Warrington headed west side to Merseyside, would the boys be left kicking stones at the BrewDog Stadium? Here's the highlights.
Maybe soon I'll follow you and I will see for myself.
Clark will get it to Shorrock. Short pass, Wormsley. Wormsley trying to run over the half, got the ball away. Whitby couldn't take it in. And Warrington survived, but that was half a chance for the Saints.
Carson totally fine. Have you heard that the boys are gone this
great run straight up the middle? Wrecking through, leaves Warrington defenders on the ground. They're short of numbers here, the Wolves. Here's Lomax. Lomax going through the gap. Lomax for the line! Not sure he's got it down. Looks like he might have lost it, Johnny Lomax.
Plastic-covered cars are totally fine.
Is Sailor rolls the kick in, and Sailor, could he get on the end of it? I think he has done.
Kicks, thumbs, and the car shoot past. You know you got face like a bullet when you talk like that.
They turn the ball back inside. Here could be a chance. They break through here. Wellsby backs up and they're going to score. Hopewata in the corner. Warrington gambled on the last. Saints sat back and Warrington made them pay. Gets out of dummy half, finds Curry. Curry's just going to have a straightener. That's going to have a straightener more than this. He's gone straight through. Now, did Curry get it down? There's no big celebration from Ben Curry here.
Have you heard that before?
And now a break, and a possible break here. And they're going racing away. Gus Smith, it's going to go. To score! Saints let it bounce! Warrington score!
Oh, they're gone this time.
Here's Ben Curry. Curry turns, tucks the ball up. No panic there from Powell. He gets it away to the youngster's going to win it for Warrington! You and Irwin over! The owner celebrates! Warrington celebrate.
Well, there it is, boys. The big score on Thursday night. We were all on the edge of our seats. Mexico 2, South Africa 0. There were goals for and also no, jokes aside. St. Helens 6, Warrington 18. Tries for Hopewata, Josh Smith and Irwin. Goals, Ewan Irwin kicked 3 from 3. The referee was the best of the Moors in Arran. Attendance was 11,590. Oh, hey, we were all clapping. It was great. I mean, I did lose £750, which didn't help. But apart from that, good night, Sam. Excellent night.
You know, it's nights like that. I know it's only a league game, but it's nights like that that give you hope and renew your faith in the team, isn't it? Yeah. Because we all spoke beforehand that we thought we'd show up, we'd put in a good effort, but ultimately we wouldn't win.
Mm.
And for 30 minutes, it looked like we were clinging on. Didn't it, to be fair? Right. It was all St. Helens. But by the end of the game, what a turnaround.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
What about you? Did you watch it live or live?
No, I did watch it live. I think I got up and I did watch it live. Yeah, so I was there, yeah, watching it. I didn't actually, I don't remember the first 30 minutes too much, but I always thought we were in control a little bit. My conclusion on Saints is that they're a little bit toothless. They're not. I mean, I think if you look at how many, and these stats could be wrong, Sam's got new stats, but we've got play of the ball in the opposition 20. Saints had 21 plays. To me, they looked very similar, St. Helens, as to the way they played at Leeds. They're in the fight, but they're just missing that attacking edge all of a sudden. Something's not quite right.
They seem to lack a little bit of pace.
Because they've got good players all over the park, but just some, I don't know, there's just no X factor there anymore.
A little bit of zip.
Yeah. I think they'd be better. I don't want to go on about Saints too much, but I think Wellsby would be far better suited in the halves. I don't think he has the pace to play fullback, and I think he's a bit wasted. He wants to get his hands on the ball all the time. I would have thought since Coote's gone, they've been struggling a little bit. I think they could, if I was going to buy a decent player at Saints, I'd be buying a decent fullback from the NRL and moving Wellsby into the halves. I just think he's a bit missing there.
They've really struggled with Wellsby and Saylor, and there's been a lot, mostly rumours, obviously. Someone said this and someone said that, and leaks coming out of the camp, but there's a lot of rumours that they're struggling to fit both Wellsby and Saylor into the team because they both want to do the same thing.
Right. Because Saylor didn't start in the halves, did he, in this game?
No, he's been playing wing for several
weeks. But then
he
moved in because someone got injured and it all changed.
Because Lomax broke his jaw, yeah.
One player that I thought had quite a good game for Saints, so I know Dennis doesn't think he's the player he was Walmsley. I thought Walmsley ran well. I thought he was the one forward that was running well for them. What do you think, Dennis?
No, I still think he's shit.
I
think if you you got a big lad like Walmsley, I think we've learnt the lesson and you know, tackle legs. Him low.
Yeah, sound like Ray French, don't you? That's what Ray always would say. Yeah, very good.
I think the other thing I noticed in particular was a good thing. I've written sort of odd things about the game this week. Line speed. I thought our line speed was very good against Saints. I think we shut them down very quickly.
And Walker came into his own because Walker's average game was high. He ran from dummy halfback a bit more than he has been doing. I think I've got seven, Sam. I don't know what you've got in the new stats. The Super League must guess the stats and then go back and actually watch the game. Do you think that's what they do? Because they change midweek.
If you remember last week, Sam, you were going to write to the Super League about
I was going to do that on Monday morning.
That's right. Yeah. So what happened?
Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Where do you think I've got these correct stats from?
I don't know. Up your arse. I don't know. Where have you got them from?
Yeah, they sent them to me this evening. I said, "Where's my answer?"
Have you got a link now? Have we got a way into the RFL, Sam? This is brilliant.
Yes.
I've been watching Star City on Apple. Has anyone watched it? Oh, it's really good. It's about the race to the moon. And in this version, the Russians get there first, but the Americans have got spies in Star City, which is the Soviet. It's got beautiful, some real good sort of Russian architecture in it. It's really good, really good. And they've got an inn at Star City. Sam's now our operative in the RFL, so that's excellent, Sam. That's good. Where will this lead?
Okay. Anyway, let's get back onto Warrington's potentially our best win of the year.
Yes. Best win for sure, right?
Yeah, I think we were. I wouldn't go as far as Dennis to say we're in control in that first half. I thought we were scrambling.
That.
Was it someone at the RFL that said it, Sammy?
Yeah. Sam, also, if you just opened up and you said this is the best game of the year, are you writing off the rest of the season with that statement?
So far. Best performance so far.
In, are you?
Because they threw everything at us. A couple of last-ditch tackles by Josh Thewlis, who I think we need to...
Who?
I think we need to... Josh... the thing we need to make note of later when we come to view the whole game. And it was almost as if, because they couldn't put a second try on, we just grew in stature, and they started to wilt, didn't they? And then scoring just before half time, it felt like a completely different game to what you've been watching for 25 minutes.
The competency of our two Australians, you can tell they've played a lot of touch footy growing up.
Yes.
Papawati and Smith, you know, and that they got that overlap on the right. I think you pointed it out, Dennis. They know what to do, right? They draw a man, pass the ball, they're in the right place. The ball is passed correctly, not forward, not back. And they make it look easy. You know, it's just timing.
They do. I think the other thing that in defence as well is that all the way through the season, I said it right at the start of the season, they're our best two signings, is that the defence, that right edge, there's just nothing there for anyone. And then going forward, you know, it's just really predictable and sort of consistent in it every time that they get the ball. So
from what I can see, Sam, over 300 metres in carries between Smith and Hapoati.
That's right. Smith 178, helped, of course, by his 80-minute streak in Hopewell, 158 metres.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, good. Very good.
Ewan Irwin started that as well by deciding to run it. Irwin decided to run the ball.
Well, you mean Lamal out of Kajagoogoo? Yes, his hair. I was walking through the house before and we've got low beams and all the spiders are coming out. So every time I go into another room, I've got a spider dropping down. His hair would be more effective for removing cobwebs in the cottage here. So,
One of Mrs. London's favourite ever movies is Never Ending Story. I think that's sung by Lamal, isn't it? So yeah, there we go. You and Erwin, I should probably touch on that. We've had a complaint. We received a fax yesterday. Let me find it. Dear, what would Brian Bevan say? I was listening to the podcast when yet again you three fuckwits made the tired old joke, you and Erwin. I would like to say this is just not childish, it's not funny. My own name is Justin Case, and for 59 years I've endured people saying to me for their own amusement things like, it's cold today, you better wear a coat to the match, just in case. At school, it was also relentless. During registration, the teacher would call out my name and 30 children would immediately shout, just in case of what, sir? Things got even worse when I started working at Laporte's. Every health and safety meeting seemed specifically designed to humiliate me. Put your goggles on, just in case. Know where the fire exits are, just in case. Don't forget to take the chucky out of the lathe, just in case. Thankfully, I'm now on medication following finally being diagnosed 5 years ago with anticipatory surname fatigue. But even so, listening to you three sad, pathetic grown men on your shitty podcast repeatedly congratulating yourselves with you and Erwin makes my anxiety flare up. So just in case you read this, please stop. Yours faithfully, just in case, Dudlow's Green. So...
yeah, was that anthropicity, whatever, was that a doctor, is that a doctor's name? Interestingly enough, you mentioned about going to the moon. There was a bit of strange goings on in the 34th minute with all the gum shields going off.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It wanted to come off, didn't he?
Percival and Crowther both having simultaneous vibrations in the mouth, apparently. So, that yeah, they both had to leave at the same time. I don't know if there's a Wi-Fi problem at the stadium or something.
Sam, could you write your contacts at the RFL and get that covered, please? How are you corresponding? Is it a hotline? How does it work?
Oh, good old fashioned letters.
Good old fashioned letters.
Right. Yeah.
Wi-Fi. What? Just remind me. Wi-Fi.
Oh, fucking hell! Forget it.
At the Brewdog Stadium.
I don't know if the post contact meter average gain has changed, Sam, but it was significantly in St. Helens's favour. They went for 3.22. We went for 2.38. So, still this year, we've only had the one game against Castleford where we've won that. I still worry. I don't think, as much as this was a terrific performance and we've definitely got some real sparkles in the side at times, I still think that that is the red flag and that will come to haunt us in semi-finals or a final. But I think there's only four teams that can win it now. I just don't think Saints are good enough. Unless they miraculously buy some players, that they've just not got the attacking prowess. So I think it's now Warrington, Leeds, Hull, KR and Wigan for the title. I can't see anyone outside that. Can you? Is that where the four are now? What do we think?
Realistically, agree. And Rob, you're a big tennis fan. I would see us as the Andy Murray of that big four.
Right.
You know, where we could win it, but realistically, it's Djokovic or Nadal or Federer being the other three. We're the one that's almost
Who are Lee? Are they Pam Shriver?
I'm glad we're not doing a tennis podcast. Sam's struggling with a few players. So I would just say also with Josh Smith's try in the second half where Darryl Clark tried to make a tackle and then he just went the length. I noticed Aaron Moore nearly caught him up.
He did.
Was faster than some of the didn't Saints he? Players.
Didn't he?
Yeah. He was yeah, quick. He was quick.
Maybe. Yeah. What he does. Maybe he could play fullback for Saints.
Better of the Moors, isn't he? As Moors go, he's the better Moore, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah. You got a favourite Moore? Dennis?
I was just thinking, it's Dartmoor.
Dartmoor.
I was thinking
you prefer
of Bob
Dartmoor.
Dartmoor is brilliant.
And you can wild camp on Dartmoor, can't you,
yes,
as well?
Yeah.
Which is the only place in the UK,
times.
I think. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you're very knowledgeable about
that.
Yeah,
well, watch my little camping fellas who go wild camping every week. I've been watching them for about 2 years now. They're both married, but they go away every weekend on YouTube and camp. I think it's only a matter of time before they kiss. I just feel there's something, yeah, there's something there between them. Yeah.
When I went, I was faced with a sheep about 4 foot away from the tent in the morning.
Really?
No recollection of what went on the night before. So just a couple of other things to think about here. Leon Hayes this week, Sam slagged him off last week. So I noticed his kicking was a little sort of shit as well this week. But fair play to him defensively. He looked like he stood his own. I mean, being it's only 5 foot one or whatever, but he did actually sort of stand up in defence. But what do you think about his overall performance, Rob? Have you got any thoughts on Leon?
He's a good standing right, isn't he? That's what he is. He unfortunately he lacks pace. He's got no pace. And when you're little, you need pace. As he's got he's very brave and he wants to get involved, which is more than Sneed does. So I think he tackles better than Sneed. So I think he's above the pecking order now on Sneed. Would you agree, Sam?
23 tackles, one miss.
Yeah.
According to...
Well, people fall over him all the time. They don't see him, do they? That's the thing. That's his...
yeah.
He just pops up. Yeah.
That's
he just
trick.
Pops up and bites them on their ankles.
You and Irwin, they both played well. Ooh. And I thought the most impressed thing I was with you and Irwin was actually the... talk he gave afterwards, the post-match. For an 18-year-old, he holds himself very well. He's smart. He's bright. He's not thick. He's bright. So I think that'll see him in good stead. Talking of that, let's have a listen to Jenna Brooks talking to Ewan Irwin. But first, here's John Wilkin and Brian Carney sucking off Sam Burgess.
What are you learning about Sam Burgess, the head coach? 2024 went very well. Difficult 2025 and 26 looks like it's an upward trajectory. What are you learning about you in your role?
Plenty. There's plenty to learn. There's plenty to do. I think I did the most learning last year in 2025. I managed to stay balanced in the midst of a tough back end of the year. You know, make some great decisions that I knew would pay us back at some point. Required a little bit of courage. So I'm just, figuring out that, keep that courage going, even though the things are going a little bit better. So, still be bold enough to make brave calls.
It's never as bad as you think and never as good as you think.
You're a wise man, Brian.
Well, thank you very much.
You could be a coach.
Should be a coach. Let's hear from one of those decisions that you made, you and Irwin with Jenna.
Yeah, tonight Warrington won their ninth straight game over St Helens, and that was partly due to the Met standing next to me, Ewan Irwin. Wow, that was some performance. Josh Thulis, your teammate, just called it brutal. How bad was it out there?
Honestly, brutal. Probably an understatement, I reckon, but honestly, everyone turned up. The effort was superb every single minute. So, honestly, boys put in such a performance today.
Talk about the effort out there, because in particular, like defensively, we've seen such a big improvement this year when it comes to the Warrington Wolves. What do you put that down to?
I don't know, just clarity, just where we want to go in the year and go as a season. And I think everyone's buying into that. And when you've got something that you want to go for, something to chase, it gets everyone motivated, it gets everyone excited, doesn't it?
Speaking about being excited, I think everyone's very excited to see where your career is going to go. Already one of the greatest ever halfbacks, Joey Johns, Andrew Johns has singled you out and given you high praise. You've got the backing of your head coach, Sam Burgess. Every time you step on that pitch, you put in some incredible performances. So what is it like for you, just 18 years old? I mean, do you get nervous?
I think everybody gets nervous, don't they? But, I just want to get out there, just get playing rugby. I mean, Thursday night here, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? So just to play in front of as many fans as possible, it's always amazing, isn't it?
I listened to these post-match in the actual... post-match thing. Can't see and can't speak this week. And Matt was asking all the questions from The Guardian. Shout out to The Guardian. They've still not got any pop-ups on, so that's great.
Really?
You've not
subscribed by mistake?
Oh, shit, that's a good point. I might have to just check that.
I subscribed to The Guardian by mistake the other year, and I didn't realise till the subscription came round. It was £100. Not the Warrington Guardian, the Guardian,
okay. I was going to say that was expensive, isn't it? But he asked him a few questions, nothing, but he never answers the question, Rob, I've noticed, Sam Burgess.
I was thinking this because my daughter had a big exam this week at university and you can't give a bigoted answer. And also you have to show you're working out. And he never shows he's working out or gives, they'll say to him, So what do you think you've you need to work on, Sam? Well, I've definitely got something to work on. And then no one goes, and what is that thing you need to work? They always leave it. No one ever. It's like the same. And we'll move on to Max Wood in a second. Well, you know, he's got a few things in his game to work on.
Yeah.
And those things are, show you working out, Mr. Burgess, in the margin, please. Nothing. Oh, well,
what would you ask, though? What would you ask? I mean,
well, then I'd say, Sam, what things does he need to work out? It's pretty simple. So to sum it up, Warrington are playing very well. There's a lot of good team spirit. We've got a lot of good players in the back line. There's new hope with the likes of Ewan Irwin. We'll get even better when Brodie Croft comes in next year. Walker was back to his best. We are missing a prop and Saints are shit. Is that kind of where we're at?
I would say you've almost hit the nail on the head there. I don't think they're totally shit, but they try hard, but they're not the Saints of 5 years ago, are they?
No, they're not. Harrison played well.
Oh, actually, good shout. His tackles. Harrison, 39 tackles. Curry, 40 tackles. Walker, 43. You know, those three put in a great shift. And Crowther, really. Crowther played more minutes and didn't let us down, did he? Mainly had to play more minutes because poor Zach Gardner went off after however many, 4 or 5 minutes, one of his first carries.
And he's gone for the season, right? Operation needed on Gardner. So he's gone.
He is.
It's a brutal sport, rugby league.
It is. Can we touch on our younger players briefly? Sky.
Sorry, we can touch on that, but unfortunately, we just have to go to a hydration break.
Okay. Ah,
excellent. Okay.
Last stop on round would be old Ma Peggotty's place. 'Twas like taking bread to the top of the world. 'Twas a grand ride back though. I knew Baker'd have kettle on and doorsteps of hot always ready. There's wheat German that loaf, he'd say. Get it inside your boy, and you'll be going up that hill as fast as you come down.
Oh, this still has many times more wheat germ than ordinary bread. It's as good for you today as it's always been.
Yes, where were we? Oh, yes, we have to pick the game up again, don't we? We've just lost all the flow for that hydration break. Well done, FIFA. Well done, the United States. Anyway, Sky put up a graphic with, I think they called it the foundations or something like that of our young players. And I've picked out the ones that we know most about. I've left people like Hartill, McKinney and Rhodes out of this. But age-wise, Josh Thewlis, age 24, he seems like he's been around forever. And I've already decided whether I believe the hype about him. I think he's great. I think he's excellent, Thewlis. Luke Thomas, age 23, I've seen enough with him that he's 6 foot one. He'll put on 6 to 10 kilos. He's got something about him. Leon Hayes, we've touched on him. I think he'll be a good reserve. I think Hayes might end up sort of better than Deck Patton, but maybe not quite as good as Gareth O'Brien. Would you perhaps go with that so far, from what you've seen so far?
Well, yeah.
Patton has been and scored in a Super League Grand Final. Patton just needed another 10 games, as Dennis has pointed out on this pod on numerous occasions.
Yeah. He just Sam, decided when you started the 10 from.
You one, remember, you started this section with remembering the people who you know or whatever, but you did forget one of the halfbacks that I mentioned, Riley Dean, who played for Bradford. He looked like a different player when I saw him the other day. He looked a bit more composed,
but he's not playing for us. So do you think Leon Hayes is the replacement for Riley Dean? Then he'll be at Bradford in 4 years.
I was going to just interject with, do you think there's a, you know, an argument to bring Riley Dean back and challenge Hayes for that position? What do you think?
No, you've got you've sort of got Leyland in the background doing that, surely.
You've forgotten about Leyland, haven't you?
Well,
Leyland's not a good a bad buy because he's not making any money, and he doesn't seem to care. You know, if you've got anyone who sort of wants to play first team, they're going to disappear, aren't they? Like Riley Dean to Bradford. Yeah. You need someone that's just willing to be part of the squad, but not necessarily play every week, and that could well be Leon Hayes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, I think Leon Hayes will want to play more, but yeah, someone who's going to be patient enough to bide the time and almost know where they are in the organisation, know that they're just a smaller cog in the wheel, whatever.
I mean, Dennis went to Hay on Y. It should really, is the question Hayes on Y? That kind of works?
That's not bad.
That almost works.
Yeah. So can I just question, is Leyland on the list or not on the list? What's the score
What is
there?
This list? What list are we on?
No, he's
the list
not on
that
the
Sam
list.
Sent through.
Not on the list.
Oh. Any reason for why he's not on the list?
Is it? Because he's not someone who's come through our development.
Oh, okay. Halfway. Right, I see.
Although I've sort of stumped my own argument by putting Max Wood on there that we picked up 2 years ago rather than coming through our development. But I've got Wood, Jake Thewlis, Adam Holroyd and Ewan Smith, who I'm unsure about still. Simply right. For different reasons. We're going to talk about
Wood
doing
in a minute, the whole
think,
youth
aren't
team.
We? No, just three more.
Okay.
Three more I think I've seen enough of. Three more I've seen enough of to say they are the real deal in Super League terms, Rob.
Right.
In Super League terms. I'm not saying they're going to go on to
in,
NRL
in proper
standard.
Terms, you mean? Yep.
Yeah. But in Super League terms, Lindop, Taylor Ray, and of course, Irwin. I think Irwin, I've seen enough of Irwin to know if he stays fit, he's got something about him.
Yeah. Yeah, big right foot step, bumf. It's funny, isn't it, how they fall for that in Super League. Don't fall for that in the NRL, but in Super League, oh, you got like Jonathan Davis used to take the piss with his stepping, and Irwin's learnt the big right step. Didn't Austin have the big right step?
Austin did when he came over. He ran amok for the
takes
first
the coaches
season.
About
didn't
8 weeks in Super League. Oh, often come out of a step, Jimmy. We might want to do something about that. It takes him about 6 weeks to gag onto that. So he's still got, I'd say he's still got about three more weeks of right stepping before someone realizes he's right stepping. Oh dear. Super League results round 14. Toulouse 24, Leeds 48, Hull KR 38, York 6, Wakefield 10, Wigan 48. Hull 36, Huddersfield 12, Max Wood with 35 tackles, 14 carries and 123 metres. Catalans 34, Castleford 28, and finally Bradford 12, Lee 38, in a game that saw former Wire winger Josh Charnley score a hat-trick and become Super League's all-time leading try scorer on 272 tries. Charnley has scored 318 tries across all competitions and he's now within touching distance of Brian Bevan's record, needing just an additional 469 tries. At his current rate and his declining age, AI says that he will surpass Bevan's record if he continues to play in the year 3092.
Oh, 3,090. Are you sure that's right? I think AI's...
No, because it's very good the way it's done it. So he's averaging, at the moment, I've forgotten what he's averaging a year. The start of his career was in 2010. He wasn't hitting that many tries, and then he peaked about 7-8 years ago. By the time he hits 40, they think he'll only score three tries, and then it just drops off. Like he's not during his 60s, he's not getting any tries at all. He basically becomes a freak of nature towards the end. It's a bit like waiting for the monkeys to write the complete works of Shakespeare. Get there eventually, but yeah. Although having said that, Ryan Hall is 78 and he scored the other week. So
yeah. That's all right.
That leaves the league table looking like this. Leeds are out on top on 22 points, but purely on goal difference. Warrington are on their heels, also on 22 points, but with that game in hand against Hull KR. Hull KR in third on 18. Wigan also on 18 in fourth, as to a Wakefield and St Helens. Then we drop down to Lee Catalans, Hull Bradford, Castleford Toulouse, York and Uddersfield. Our mastermind tally, Sam has finally got one team in the correct position from his predictions, as two of I. Dennis has two, but the combined total has dropped to three. So, yeah. None of us have got any of the top, I think, seven correct.
I've got one. I've got Leeds, right, haven't I?
Oh, so you've got Leeds. Yeah, that's where you're getting your extra point from. So, yeah. So, I mean, we kind of touched on it before, but Max Wood, when Burgess was asked, you know, why is he on loan? Well, he's got things to work on his game. And the next question should be, and what are those things, Sam? But no one ever asks the second question.
Because as you say, 35 tackles, three misses, 14 carries for 123 metres, no errors, no penalties conceded, 9 metres per carry.
I'm going to speculate. I think that he's lazy. He's lazy in the fact that when during you look at what he does, well, I don't know because I don't see during the week, but in the game, if you look at where he puts himself in the middle, he's not chasing. I mean, you look at Bentley, he chases everything down. He's like running from one side of the pitch to the other. I think Wood could be accused of being slightly lazy. I think that would be my observation. I know it goes against the grain, but that's what I see.
And whether he is, or do you mean that's the perception of the coaching staff saying you can do more?
Well, I don't know, because I think, like I say, it's speculation, because to Rob's point, we don't actually know. It'd be nice to know so we can look at him and watch him how he gets on at Hull and see if his game's improving for the points that he's been offloaded. But we don't see that, so we have to speculate. So that's my speculation.
The big thing about Wood for me is he's 18 months younger than Luke Thomas.
Mm. Is he really? Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
He's got good hair, like Bentley.
Moustache makes him look older.
Yeah, top three haircuts, Bentley, Wood and Lamar.
Yes, yeah. I'd go with that, yeah.
They're the top three? Anyone, who's fourth? Who's sort of edging their way into a playoff spot when it comes to hair?
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it?
Really, you've got to think of someone who's not shaved. You mean not shaved and going for a mullet?
I can't think of anyone. Oh, maybe King? King's got a bit of a flop going on, hasn't he? Mm. Oh, young Aaron. Aaron's grown his hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Has he grown it? Ready for his comeback?
Yes. Yeah. He's playing on Thursday. Thursday over there? I get confused. Yeah. Friday here.
Yeah.
Right. There you go. So, right. Okay. We had enough of that?
Yeah.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Kevin Sinfield has received a knighthood in the King's Birthday Honours List. Sinfield, the former Leeds Rhinos and England captain, is just the second, yes, just the second rugby league figure to be knighted after Sir Billy Boston. I had a phone call from my mum last night. She said, oh, your dad would have been so happy. Apparently, he really liked Kevin for all the charity work he did. He said, your dad would have been so happy to see that he'd finally been knighted. I've got a few stats on knighthoods and dames, if you want them. Do you want to know? Tory politicians. How many Tory politicians have been knighted, do you think?
Fucking loads. Give them away.
Just remember now, Rugby League 2, Tory MPs, 250 have been knighted. CEOs, 200. Actors, 120. Musicians and entertainers, 100. And then if you want to come on to sport, football leads the way with 18. Cricket has 15. Athletics has 10. Sailing, you know, that well-known sport, sailing, every week.
Oh, yes, of course.
They have, they deserve this. They've got 8 knighthoods. Yeah. Rugby union's only got 5.
No.
They have got over 20. The New Zealanders give knighthoods practically every week to one of the rugby union players, but I'm just doing British nominations. Motor racing, 5. Boxing, 3. Rugby league, 2. But you know what beats rugby league?
You mean as in overlooked more?
Yep.
Fencing.
No. Paedophiles. Currently, 3 people have been knighted who have turned out to be pedos. We've got Ron Brearley. Yeah. He was chairman of Guinness. Politician Cyril Smith. And the biggest cunt of all, Savile. So there we go. So paedophiles, 3. Rugby league, 2. There you go. Yeah.
It's a record to be beaten, isn't it?
As we enter the top 5 of my countdown, the players are getting better and better, and the decisions are getting harder and harder. In 5th, I have got one of my favourite ever Wire players, Brett Hodgson. Like Darrell Clark and soon-to-be Brody Croft, Hodgson had already won the Man of Steel Award before joining Wire, receiving Super League's most prestigious individual accolade at Huddersfield in 2009. The fullback arrived in 2011, and it was immediately obvious that the Australian possessed the star quality required to take Wire to the next level in the number one position. Hodgson was a metronome. There was nothing he couldn't do. He could beat a player with skill just as easily as he would defend a high bomb. Put simply, he didn't really have any weakness, and it was this all-round excellence that meant he had such an impact on the club in a 3-year career that brought a league leader shield, a challenge cup, and 2 grand final appearances. So much of Wire's famed attacking prowess in that famous 2011 season was down to their new number one, who was cerebral and smart. He knew exactly when to chime into the line and how to do so. His passing was delicate and effective, and I really think he changed the way that the modern fullback plays in Super League. I'd say recent successes like Lachlan Coote or the Catalans version of Sam Tompkins played in a very similar fashion to Hodgson. What could also not be underestimated was Hodgson's reliability from the kicking tee, one of the best goal kickers Wire have had in recent times. His relatively low total of 75 appearances prevents him from making the top 4, but I will always wonder what would have happened if it had been 76 if he had played in that 2013 grand final.
Daniel there with Brett Hodgson at number 5.
Is that a surprise to anyone, seeing Brett Hodgson there?
No, we thought he would be in this little top few, didn't we?
I thought Daniel hit the nail on the head. We would have won Super League if he'd not fallen out with Smith. You remember when they had the little spat and they fell out?
That's right.
Didn't he want to go and see his... there was something, some family event, wasn't there, or something, and Hodgson didn't want to go to training. I think that's what allegedly, I think, happened. And then Mrs. Hodgson kicked off on social media.
Sky.
Real 2 egos clashed there. Egos, I think, cost us... As much as we praise Smith all the time, I think they should have just... sucked it in there, because I think Hodgson that day, we ended up with Ratchford at fullback at one point during that game, and it all went tits up. And if Hodgson plays that day, Hodgson was worth 10 points. It was a 10-point turnaround with Hodgson. We'd have beaten Wigan that day. So, bit of a shame.
Yeah, well.
Bit of a shame. Daniel is still under the duvet doing the recordings.
Another good one.
He had a bit of a blooper. I've sent you the blooper. I think after the music plays out, we'll play Daniel's blooper. Oh, goodbye, Mrs. London. Love you, darling. Love you.
No one there. And, you know, it's a shame because he's probably been listening too much to the sketch show, really, isn't it? And listening to Ralph Rimmer struggle.
Oh, Sam. Oh, what a wonderful idea to bring the lads together to watch the FIFA World Cup. I mean, it would have been much better to go to the States to watch it. But you know, what with your visa issues? Oh, wasn't it 1966 the last time we won? Which is quite recent, I guess, compared to us winning the championship in 1955.
That's right, Rolfo. The swinging 60s, when people started to feel liberated post-war.
Oh, yes. Unlike us, with our win back in the 50s, when we were still clearing up all the shit from the Blitz.
If I'm not mistaken, the Luftwaffe dropped a bomb on Gartens.
Oh, snot rag my arse.
Well, at least we've avoided playing the old enemy, Ralphie. The group game sees us play Croatia, Ghana and Panama.
Oh, I once dated a young lady from Panama.
Oh, did you take her up the canal?
Oh, Samuel, you dirty old man.
No, Ralpho, the Panama Canal. It's a man-made waterway that cuts across the country, linking the Atlantic with the Pacific Oceans and allowing ships to avoid the long journey around the southern tip.
Oh, my apologies, Sam. It's just that nobody's navigated my southern tip since the slapper from Batley at the summer bash in Blackpool in 2015. And did you know that the World Cup was once stolen and found under a hedge by a dog called Pickles? Yes, if I'm not mistaken, Samuel, Wolfie dragged something out of a bush in Latchford.
Really? What did he find?
Oh, well, it was just a used syringe and 3/4 of a BMX.
Back in 1966, Ralphie, there was controversy over whether Jeff Hurst's goal had actually crossed the line. Thank goodness that Russian linesman awarded the goal.
Oh, yes, quite right, Samuel. Had it gone upstairs to Chris Kendall-Mincake for a video rest decision, we'd still have been waiting for the verdict the year ABBA won the Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh, well, my favourite World Cup was Italia 90. You know, Luciano Pavarotti singing Nessun Dorma. An enormous presence, immense structure, and the capable of shaking the foundations of a building with a single note.
Oh, sorry, sir. Are we still talking about the legendary... the big fat Italian tenor? Oh, Professor Broomhead, after his 8 pints and pie buffet, you know, murdering Sweet Caroline at the Irish Club karaoke on Orford Lane. Anyway, Samuel, let's hope this overrated, shitey World Cup is a little fairer, and we don't end up going out to another hand of God.
Oh, yes, Maradona against England in 1986.
Although if we're talking about acts of God, I've seen Stuart Middleton's eyes perform a few miracles whenever he sees Tanya Arnoldo cross her legs.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Oh no, James Bentley thinks football hooliganism was part of the official tournament schedule. Oh, tackle sacks. Oh, but he does have beautiful hair. Anyway, Samuel, I'm sure the shitty football's coming home. Because judging by your recent coaching performances, Samuel, the Super League trophy will need a sat-nav, a passport, a connecting flight, 3 interviews at the British Embassy, and 6 months in quarantine before it ever finds its way back to Warrington.
Dennis, did you enjoy your history lesson of the World Cup?
I I'm glad I was able to sort of put a bit of Ralph's also disappointment with such a shit game. Yeah. I've got nothing else to say on the World Cup. You've got nothing else to say about the sketch. What about what were some of the other favourite bits there, Sam? Did you enjoy anything?
Well, I just felt it was enjoyable for once, not to suddenly I think, oh, ouch, are you allowed to say
yes,
that?
We did have to clean it up, didn't we, after a discussion last week.
We did have it. We had an issue with, James Lee House had to be taken out. Yeah, that was a bit of a worry. But no, I really enjoyed that one next week. Yeah. And next week, we're off to the Henley Regatta. So,
excellent. Is it that one?
Something to look forward to. Just before we have tackle gags, we need a hydration break.
Oh. On your last trip, did you discover what the Earth people eat? They eat a great many of these. They peel them with their metal knives. Boil them for 20 of their minutes. Then they smash them all to bits.
They are clearly a most primitive people.
Or mash, get smash.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tackle Gags.
The thing that really gets on my nerves these days is all these reformed drug addicts, all these people going on about how they've kicked their addiction, you know. They seem to want our applause and our approbation for stopping doing something that was a bloody stupid thing to do in the first place. Well, I've stopped putting me dick in the food blender.
I've got some glasses because look at that. Oh. Jesus.
Oh,
I can't see. And after last week, I can't see jack shit.
I'm glad you're reminding me of that, Dennis, because at 9:10 this morning, I have an appointment with the optometrist to get my eyes tested as well.
Ah, yeah.
I tell you what, I tried a load of frames on and I found these frames I really like. And Mrs. London said, take them off. You look like David Hockney.
Oh, such a shame.
Which brings me on to more correspondence we've had just before we move on to tackle bags. We've had correspondence in on the Vidi printer.
Yes.
It's actually been sent to Dennis. Because I think they obviously see Dennis as the arty one on the show. It says, Dear Dennis, following the passing of Sir David Hockney, I felt it only fitting as a keen amateur artist to commemorate the great man's life by recreating his famous painting, A Bigger Splash.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I do not have access to either a swimming pool or a suitable muse. I understand that Stuart Middleton has a swimming pool in his basement, which he frequently used by the players and coaching staff. So I was wondering whether anybody has his telephone number. Furthermore, for the interests of artistic authenticity, I would like to make it the biggest splash of all by inviting Professor Broomhead to accompany me for an afternoon at my easel. Best wishes, Andy Hall-Hall, Fernhead. So if we could get on to that.
Yeah, make sure you get plenty of paint. Right. Welcome back to Tackle Gags, the section where we investigate the issues that really matter, mainly because there's bugger all else to talk about this week. There's been no news. Yeah, it's been a quiet week with little go forward, which, much like Warrington's forward part, means there's not a lot coming over the gain line. Sam Burgess this week more or less admitted that on loan, Max Wood is currently producing better numbers than pretty much any other Warrington forward, which is impressive, but slightly awkward because he's obviously not playing for us. But fear not, Sam reassured us by explaining that Max is still tidying up the game. No, we don't know what it means. Maybe his socks are uneven. Perhaps he leaves the changing room untidy. Or maybe he's just making too many metres and fucking up the stats. God, these glasses are good, aren't they? Fans know exactly what tidying up the game means. It's usually please avoid awkward questions. That's what that is. Which brings us to this week's most important investigation on Tackle Gags. Why are so many young players breaking down, and especially with injury? Now, we've seen a few of these young ones. Is it sports science that's at fault? Is it overtraining, or is it just men versus boys? What do you think? Is it... You know, when you see these youngsters playing, is it? Do you think it's men versus boys sometimes?
I think they're all too fit now. I think they used to sort of diminish. The game diminished as it went on. People slowed down. The impact wasn't as hard. Well, now it's just, you don't want to bring hydration breaks into rugby league. That really would be the end of us. You look like Paxman in those glasses, Dennis.
I've got to tell you what, it makes me nauseous when I wear them. It's
more Robin Day. I'd have said more Robin Day than
Robin Day. Robin Day. Does Robin Day speak like this? I've no idea. Ah, yeah. Anyway, have we overlooked the obvious answer? Back in the 70s, Britain was built on government-sponsored propaganda. Having decades of healthy eating campaigns accidentally robbed rugby league of their muscle mass required to survive a pre-season January. So, you know, is it really because we've not been giving them the right information that they're not really up to the, you know, the fitness of what they were in the 70s, maybe? This week, I'm asking, in the modern sports science is too frightened to answer. I'm asking, were 70s props simply made of stronger cheese? The well-famous government propaganda campaigns of the time, Go to Work on an Egg, 1959 to 1979, sponsored by the British Egg Marketing Board. Their slogan was Go to Work on an Egg. Now, I thought what I'd do is actually write some alternatives for rugby league for each one of these slogans, just to sort of encourage the players to take note. So for the egg, I've got Go to York on an Egg, you know, working off the Go to Work on an Egg, which is what the actual slogan was. Go forward with an egg, being that it's a rugby ball shape, you know. Stick an egg up your jumper, and I've got Chet your eggs in your sack, but that's in conjunction with the men's health campaign that we'll be doing next week.
Yep.
But eggs are full of proteins for sustained energy, and usually associated with a healthy breakfast. So that's your eggs. Moving on.
Edwina Ben Curry.
Oh, very good. Oh, yes. That's excellent. Top of the class.
That's excellent. Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Do you think he looks like Brian Walden in them?
Fucking hell. Oh, I need to get through this. I'm
welcome
feeling
to,
very
welcome
nauseous.
To Tackle Gags. After that, we're Brian Walden.
Right, the next category was... No, that's more...
That was good.
Drink more, drink a pint of milk a daily. Drink milk. Drink a pint of milk a day. That was the actual slogan. I've got tackle hard, drink a yard is mine. Milk a day, it's time to play. That's a nice one. And my favourite one is drink a more, milk a penalty. How's that?
Good, isn't it?
Very good. More referee.
Are we having full cream?
full cream. I haven't done the types of milk on them. The next big push by the UK marketing was by the Meat and Livestock Commission of Eat British Beef. Remember the ads, what no meat, how about a bit of British beef? I've got bring back the biffer beef.
They've used that in Australia already. We've had that in Australia. We've had bring back the beef in Australia, yeah.
Eat your beef, get ruck relief. That's and you can't beat a bit of bully. I just thought I'd throw that one in. The next one, beef, by the way, protein, iron and muscle growth. So clearly you need to have that.
So what are you having for your breakfast at the moment? Eggs, beef and milk?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm. And lamb. So by the Meat and Livestock Commission, British lamb is nutritious and versatile. Protein, vitamins B12 and zinc. So my slogan... They didn't have a slogan, so I've invented them. Bar anything but lamb. So I thought that was quite good. Glutton dressed as lamb. Get rammed with lamb. I like that one. Mm. I think that was my favourite.
Is that what Dewsbury should be doing that, shouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, Dewsbury rams. This is brilliant. Brilliant. This is adding it to it. Final one is pork. They didn't have a slogan, but it's high in protein, reduced fat compared to other things. Pulled pork, not hamstrings. Well, that worked.
Right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Very good.
Crackling defence wins matches. Oh. I like that. I've got porking up the middle since 1895, but I dropped that one for this one, which was slip them your pork sword. I thought that would be a nice sort.
Can we
of,
take the glasses off him? He's done far too much research this week.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, fucking hell, I can't see jack shit now. I'll have to
That's how Josh Stoulis feels every second week when he gets concussed.
Oh, Christ.
Where you feel now.
Oh, dear. Can you give me a HIA on the podcast, please?
Put your gum shield back in.
Anyway, my conclusion is, in 1975, eat steak, drink milk, have two puddings and get yourself down the pit was the health advice of the time. Gotcha. 2025, consume fermented quinoa, I nearly said quinoa. With almond yogurt while monitoring your biome. And somehow, the bloke from 1975 still played 38 games in a season, broke two fingers and was smoking a woodbine at the end of the match.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Next up, another Thursday night game for Wyatt. This time it's a top of the table clash against the Leeds Rhinos. The match gets underway at the Halliwell Jones at 8 p.m. Now, we touched on it at the start of the pod. I lost £770 last week, boys, so I'm now down to just a balance of £500.81. Dennis lost £15, but he's still in the black at 162.19. Samo's the bank £100, but he's now on a balance of £121.07. You won £1.75. Oh no, you lost £1.75 last week.
So. I won with Warrington, but lost my first try bet.
Yeah. Right, now the big game. Now, while I
Let's
remember,
let's talk about Leeds.
So, if you cast your mind back to the Headingley match. They threw the ball all game down their left edge. They set up. They've got one play lead. They set up, and then they go left. Couple of dummy runners, ball round the back, and it goes to Sivo, who walks in the corner. I still think 80% of his tries he scored this year. Dennis could have scored, no problem at all. They're just walk-ins.
Mm-hmm.
We were at all sixes and sevens on our right edge last time. I think Irwin played in this game. I think the right-hand edge was Irwin, Smith and Hapawati. I think.
Or... I don't know. I don't think Hoppawattie and Smith were in those positions. I think
they might
was...
be the other way round, were they? Were they playing
Smith,
them the other
Smith
way round?
Smith was on the left wing for a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we struggled. We really struggled with it. So I think, again, this will be our challenge. As much as we like Hoppawattie and Smith and Irwin, they've all shown that they've been great in attack. I think they're going to have their hands full on Thursday night. I think that's where the ball will go all night. Irwin has been coming out of the line a bit too much, or he steps back. He's not quite got the confidence, or he didn't have the confidence. I think that's improved. But to me, Sam, I think that is where this game will fall, will just be our defensive right edge against their left edge prowess. What do you think?
I think we have shown what we can do against St. Helens.
Mm.
I think this is a big ask to back it up.
Right.
I think it's a big ask to back up against a lead side full of confidence. I think we can do it, but I think it's a big challenge. I would be almost repeating what you said last week. Can't remember it word for word, but you said, I think you said something like, I think we'll go to Saints, we'll put up a good show, but ultimately we'll probably have a good loss, i.e. we're 6 or 8 points behind. That's how I feel sat here today before I've seen the teams.
Right, okay.
Just on the Leeds thing, I think that there's been a couple of occasions, and Leeds and Hawke are typical of this, is that we let the opposition halfbacks run in across the line without shutting them down and taking them out. And Lachlan Miller's back, and he's been their most prolific and dangerous player, I think. So right. I think we need to hit him, get him, take him out of the game, keep, you know, that really sort of high intensity line speed. That's the only way. If we let him run across, I think the damage will be done and they'll end up breaking us down.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, the betting is kind of even money for both teams. So whatever you put on, boys, you're going to get back.
Nothing.
I just don't see the... I mean, I lost too much money last week. So I'll have 50p on Warrington. But young Aaron Lindop is back. He's coming in the centres. I presume he'll play left centre. He'll replace Gardner. So I will have to back Aaron, and it'll be a magic night for Aaron. He'll make his return. I'll have £50 on an Aaron Lindop first try.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh.
Sam?
£5 Leeds, £5 Josh Dulis.
Right. Okay. Dennis?
Okay. Well, I think £2 on a Warrington win, I think we can certainly do. Are you going to this match, Sam? Is it at home?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. You got your ticket. You're going to be there.
Thursday.
I think I can't see beyond Liam Byrne this week, because I think Liam Byrne's got another point to prove against Leeds. I think, I think I'm going to put £10 on Liam Byrne.
Solid. It's going to come in, Dennis, at some point.
It is, isn't it?
It will. Yeah. He only needs to come in once, doesn't it? I'm just looking.
That's what she said.
Sky Bet Handicap are giving Leeds a 2-point start.
Well, it's about right. Yeah, they probably can't pick them, and we've got the home advantage. It's got to be worth a couple of penalties, hasn't it? So,
yeah. Probably be wrong in a couple of days.
Right, fellas. Well, I think we're sort of wrapping this up. Point out, we will be back a day earlier next week. We'll be back on Tuesday next week. But until then,
have you got any music to play out of, by the way? Because I'm looking for some tickets for a band in Amsterdam. Have we got any listeners in Amsterdam?
What's the band you're looking for? I can stick it on the end.
Angine de Poitrine. Two guys from Canada who
now
dress up in
now put your glasses on and read it again.
Yeah. Angine Poitrine. Angine de Poitrine. I can't read fuck all. Jesus. Yeah, so if there's somebody in the Netherlands who's got a ticket, I'm coming over in September. Thought I'd just, ask the, our listener in the Netherlands. What's his name, Rob?
I can't remember now. Dutch van Dijk, I think. Something like that. Okay, that's it. So as the summer solstice falls in the UK this Saturday, it's the longest day goodbye from me, a Neolithic Stonehenge so long from Sam.
All the best.
And a pagan midsummer druid farewell from Dennis.
Bassino.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? France 3, Senegal 1.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Like Darrell Clark and Brody Croft, Hodgson had already won the Super League Man of Steel Award before joining Wire, receiving the country's most prestigious rugby league accolade. Ah, fuck's sake.